We were having a good song service this morning. I was just wondering, have you ever thought how the music must be going to be in heaven? How it must be so much better than here. And yet, the songs we have here are great. But imagine singing up there in heaven. All right, well, we're going to have a meeting up in the air. Number 54, 54 in the chorus book, 54. The meeting in the air, the rapture. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the whale you often see. There are many, many others through the Bible.
Jesus is God, you know. wasn't the Father who died, it was the Son who died, but the Son is God. Though now my God shouldst die for me. Folks, do you have a hold of that? The intensity of that. God dying for me. Whoa. I do not deserve that. All right, let's sing. Let's sing. Charles Wesley wrote this a long time ago. that's filled with doctrine, isn't it? From start to finish, doctrine in that song. Boy, it's not one of these little ditties, these little contemporary Christian songs. Boy, that's just filled with good stuff. I actually wonder if Charles Wesley even believed all this here. No condemnation, how I tread. I think he was a little Arminian. But boy, he's saying here, I'm dressed in his righteousness divine. Boy, you don't have his righteousness. You don't have any at all. None at all. All right, well, look, we got some things going on here at the church this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Come on out and be here for Thanksgiving Eve service. Bring some food along. Bring yourself along. Let's sing. Thank God. Yeah, bring a testimony. I have something else I even said, too. If you have a verse of Scripture that really spoke to your heart over the year, why don't you share that with us, all right? So come with a Scripture, a verse of Scripture, and just would bless our heart. And let's be thankful people this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Come on out. And I got something for everybody who comes, all right? And I got something for you all. So you got to come and get it, all right? If you don't come, you don't get it, all right? I take it back home with me. But it's a nice little thing. So come on out and be here for that. That's this Wednesday night. And on our way out, don't forget the love offering for our preacher today. He did a great job. Sunday school was good. Morning service. He preached short for us there, right? But boy, that was powerful. It's still powerful. Good message. And then tonight he's going to preach for us here tonight. Looking forward to hearing what God has for us tonight, from the Word of God. That's a good one. All right, good to see everybody here tonight. And, you know, sometimes we have some people here in the night that aren't here in the morning. And we kind of have like two churches going sometimes here. But it's good to see everybody here. So let's enjoy the time of fellowship one with another. Oh, I want to see him. How about that? Do you want to see Jesus? You want to look on his face? Number 27, this would be in the 101 book. The 101 book. Oh, I want to see him as I journey through the land, singing as I go. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Number 27, the 101 book. Thank you. hate this world. Goodbye, old world, I'm through with you.
Words. going to sing. I'm going to sing now before my voice goes any worse. Number 216, my favorite song.
Okay. Do you know what it is? What's your pastor's favorite song? Yes, When We See Christ. That's my favorite song. So you're all going to have to sing that at my funeral one of these days, you know? When We See Christ. Oh, wow. 216. I'll sing it for you. See if I can...
Yeah.
Let's see, what else are we going to do here tonight? Get the preacher up here preaching. Now we've got...
Chapter 2, if you would, tonight. I just want to take a few minutes to finish up. I think we started in Sunday school this morning. Hebrews chapter number 2, if you would. It's been a pleasure being here with you today. We certainly had a good time in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 2. Thank you for your hospitality and your kindness, and I'm glad this is a good church. Amen. I was telling the preacher earlier, I wish that, well, first of all, the United States could use churches like this sprinkled all over. Amen. just preaching the word, singing great hymns, amen, being a blessing to God's people. And we thank the Lord for your faithfulness, amen. Preacher, your faithfulness for 40 years here, and the people here, however long you've been here, thank you. Hebrews chapter number 2, we talked about it, and I won't get too deep into reviewing. We reviewed in Sunday school. We've been talking about our responsibilities to the Word of God, and we talked about our responsibility to study the Word, amen. And we looked at that big time the last time I was here, and even this morning in the review, we got to study the Word. In fact, the preacher's going to start going through dispensationalism, and that's something he had in his heart. And this morning when we started talking about rightly dividing the Word of truth, I kind of confirmed it, amen. And it's important because today so many people are just, they don't know how to rightly divide the Word of truth, and they're, you know, preaching things that don't even belong, if you will, and they're interpreting things that don't belong. And so it's so important to know the truth about the truth, amen. But anyway, we talked about studying the Word, and that's kind of getting a hold of it, amen. Getting a hold of it, and that's how we get a hold of it. And by the way, let me just say this. What we need the most, and you say, why do you say we need? Because I am a human being like you, and what I need, we all need, amen? What we need the most is we need God's Word to get a hold of us. We really do. Listen, God gave us His Word, and this is how God gets a hold of our lives. We are to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Amen. The Lord wants to captivate our thoughts and our minds. And this is how He does it, through the Word of God. Amen. And I promise you, the Word of God will not get a hold of you unless you get a hold of it. The more you get a hold of this book, the more this book will get a hold of you. The more this book gets a hold of you, listen to me, the more God gets a hold of us. Amen. And that's the point. God, there are invisible strings that run from heaven to us. Amen. And it's through this Word that God wants to control, lead, guide, and direct our lives. Amen. It's so important that we get a hold of this book. But after that, we talked about this morning. Not only are we responsible to get a hold of this book, but we're responsible to maintain a hold of the book. Amen. To secure the Word of God. This morning, we focused on the fact that we need to really, really make sure we guard the Word that we get. Amen. We have a lot of people trying to get it from us. We got the devil trying to get it from us. We got everybody's philosophies trying to get it from us. Amen. We have to hold it. In fact, in this morning, I said we need to hide it deep. Amen. In our hearts. And we looked at that. In fact, the main verse we looked at was Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. And so we need to hide it deep. In fact, we looked at many Proverbs. We looked at Proverbs 2, Proverbs 4, Proverbs 7. All of these talking about hiding God's Word, treasuring God's Word, writing God's Word in your heart. In fact, one text says, call the Word of God your kinsman, if you will, your sister. In fact, you say, what does that mean? What does me getting into this book have to do with anything about calling this book family? In fact, that's what kinsmen are. And sister, they're family. And the word family has in it familiar. You are familiar with your family, more familiar with your family than you are with strangers. This book cannot afford to be a stranger to us. We ought to be so knowledgeable of the book that it's like family. We're very familiar with the Word of God. Amen. That's what we need to get. Amen. Anyway, we talked about we need to hide it deep, and then we also talked about we need to hold it firm, amen? Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Paul said to Timothy, hold fast that sound words, sound doctrine, if you will. One of the things we have to do, listen, we got a world that don't want it. In fact, we have a church many times that don't want it. They don't want sound doctrine. They want to hear what they want to hear. I mentioned it earlier where I think it's in Isaiah 30, verse number 9 and 10. They said, don't prophesy unto us right things. Tell us smooth things. Amen. Tell us what we want to hear. We live in a day. By the way, it's amazing how Paul the apostle told Timothy, hey, listen, there's a time coming. People are not going to want to endure sound doctrine. Here's what he told them to do. Preach the word. Well, they don't want to hear it. Well, to preach the word. Amen. Listen, we need to hear sometimes what we don't want to hear. Amen. We are living in the day, and we're living in an age where people have the option. I want Joel Osteen. He don't ever really get on any topics that are controversial. He doesn't really convict me. He's got wonderful stories. He reads a verse that he gets 15 stories. That's not preaching, by the way. Preaching the word has a lot of the word in it. Amen. I've been to preaching services, if you call them preacher. Well, somebody quoted a verse and then they went off on 15 stories. That's not preaching. You read some of Spurgeon's messages. I'll tell you, just chock full of scripture. That's what it is. Scripture upon scripture. Spiritual things with spiritual things. That's what we need. Amen. We need the word of God. We're living in a day. We're living in an age where people don't want to hear the truth of the word of God. But you and I, by the grace of God, need to be able to share it anyway. Amen. Share it anyway. In fact, I was going to get into it, but I won't do it tonight. But in 1 Kings chapter number 22, there was 400 prophets that were, I believe, prophets of Ahab. And I believe it was Ahab that had asked Jehoshaphat to come over and help him to battle the Syrians. And Jehoshaphat at least had enough sense to say, hold on, let's make sure God's in this. And he said, well, hold on a minute. Let me call the prophets. The prophets that were in his pocket. The 400, oh yeah, go ahead, brother. God's going to bless you. In fact, let me do a little skit here, and I'm going to get these iron horns, and God's going to push back. Oh, you got it, go. And here's the thing. Who was it? Jehoshaphat said, hold on a minute. Is there not in Israel, is there not a prophet of the Lord? Let me tell you, there's a lot of so-called preachers, a lot of so-called whatever, but you know, many of them ain't of the Lord. They're just telling people what they want to hear because that's how you get money in. That's how you get people in. That's how you get planes and cars and big bill. Amen. Is there not one prophet, he said. Is there not one prophet? And he said, oh yeah, there's a guy, but I hate him. There's this one guy. He always preaches against me. His name's Micaiah. I hate him. Go get him. Many believe he was in prison at the time. That's where God's prophets are usually at, amen, as a prison ministry. But nonetheless, they sent now for, and they get Micaiah, and the guy that sent, he said, look, they're all preaching good. They're all telling him what he wants to hear. You better keep it up. And he said, let me tell you something. I can only tell him what God wants me to tell.
Amen.
And so he gets up, and you remember, and sarcastically, he says, oh yeah, sure, go ahead up. Yeah, God's going to help. And Ahab knew that he was being sarcastic and lying, amen. And you know what happened? This man, he had to tell him the truth, and eventually the truth came true, amen? But he did not like him. He hated him. But yet, there had to be somebody who would preach the word of God in spite of the fact that not many people care and want to hear it. Hey, listen, if anything, they'll know there was a prophet of God there, amen? If anything. And so we're living in a day, where so many so-called preachers, soldiers of the cross, if you will, are leaving the real battle for comforts and everything else. Amen. In fact, I want you to turn somewhere. Actually, we didn't even go to Hebrews yet, but turn if you would to 2 Samuel, please, for a moment. 2 Samuel. You and I, especially us preachers, amen, but we all are vessels that have the word of God in us, and by the grace of God, we need to know the truth so we can stand for the truth, amen, and share the truth with others. Even though they might not want to hear it, we got to tell them anyway, amen. We need to be in this battle, and it is a battle, brother, it is a battle, amen. It is a battle. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 23 for a moment. And I want you to notice something. There's just a little illustration here I want you to see. In 2 Samuel chapter number 23, this text in verse number 9 and 10 speaks of three mighty men of David's. They were three of his mightiest men that were with him, that served and soldiered with David. And the Philistines were coming to take some ground that belonged to Israel. Okay, Philistines, picture the world. God had given a certain amount of ground to the nation of Israel, and they had a fight to maintain that ground. Amen? And let me tell you something. The world has taken a lot of ground from the church. Amen. Hey, listen, a boat can float in the water as long as the water's not in the boat.
The church can float on this world as long as the world is not in the church. But once the water starts flooding in the boat's going to sink. Amen. And we are living in a day, and we're living in an age where many of the so-called ministers have opened up. In fact, they boast and they brag about the fact that they're church without walls. That's not a good thing. Can I get a witness on that one? It's like a country without walls. Amen. I don't want to get on that, but nonetheless, we need to have big walls around here. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, so you have these Philistines were coming, and they were trying to take some ground that belonged to God's people, and somebody needs to fight to maintain the ground, if you will, even the word of God, amen, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And that just came up. I got to write that in there sometime. But anyway, I want you to look at verse number 8 and 9 and 10. Let's look at one of these mighty men fighting to maintain that ground. And after him, this he refers to the second mighty man, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men of David, men with David, when they defied the Philistines. Again, if you read the other text in Chronicles, it speaks about understanding that the Philistines are trying to take the ground that they had were given, that were there gathered together to battle. Okay, so we got this mighty man with David there to battle. What's the next part of the verse say? And the men of Israel were what? Going away. Many of those that should have been fighting were leaving. They're fighting for the ground that God had given to the nation of Israel, but many of those that were in the battle were walking away. And I tell you, you can see that nowadays. Many are walking away. Paul the apostle said of Demas, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Amen. Men of God were walking away. And it's this time many were walking away. But look at verse number 10. Not Eleazar, not this mighty man. He arose and he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. Oh, how we need men of God to battle for the book and to battle with the book, holding the ground that God had given. Amen. Watch this now. And his hand, here's how hard he fought with the sword that he had in his hand. Watch the statement. And his hand clave unto the sword. He was fighting. It says that he had destroyed 800 men. This man was battling and fighting with the sword. And by the way, I don't have to go deep into the typology to understand this is the sword we fight with. We have to fight with the word of God to maintain the ground, if you will, that God had given it. This man was fighting with the word and for the word, for what the ground that God had. He was fighting so much and so hard with that sword, it pretty much welded it to his hand. Hard to get it out. This is the kind of grip that we need on this book. Amen? This is not just a book we fight for. Contend for the faith. This is a book we fight with. Amen. We use this. And it goes on to say, that, by the way, listen to this verse. It goes on. It says, and he clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought what? A great victory that day. And notice the next statement. And the people returned after him to what? To the spoil. One man. Hey, listen. Many men were leaving. Many men were running. Many men were not holding firm and standing firm and grounded in the truth with the sword in their hand, battling for the Lord. But this one did, so much so that he got the victory and the people got the spoils. Amen. Oh, we live in a different day, don't we? We really do. Somebody needs to get a hold of the book and they need to maintain a hold of the book for the blessing and the benefit of the people that are under them. Amen. Thank God there is a remnant. Amen. Most good churches aren't big churches. That's the truth. Most good churches aren't big churches. I think the bigger you are, the more you got to accommodate everybody. And the more you got to accommodate everybody, the less you can say. Amen. Ain't that the truth? Now let's go back. I think we're going to go to Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Listen, you and I, we need to hide the word deep. Why? Because somebody's trying to steal it. We know the devil's trying to steal the word. Now listen, we need to hold the word firm. Why? Because it can slip away. Watch this. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. We read this earlier, but let me read it again. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Watch us, lest at any time we should let them what? Slip. You and I got to get such a firm hold on the truths of the word of God that we don't let them slip. One of my greatest fears
is not that this book is going to slip away from me, but that I can slip away from this book. Amen? It's not always only bad things that take us from the book. You've heard it before, sin will keep you from the book, right? It's not only bad things that can keep us from the book, but it could be good things. So we all got to be very careful. In fact, let me just throw this at you. Luke 10:38-42. Martha received Jesus into her house. You remember that? And she got so busy serving the Lord, preparing that meal, probably going overboard. So busy serving Jesus, and Mary sat at his feet and listened and learned and heard his word. In fact, Mary was so busy serving the Lord, she got angry that Mary wasn't helping. She said, Lord, don't you care that she's not helping me? When you're serving the Lord so much that you're questioning whether he cares for you, you're serving a little too much. Amen? Don't you care that she's left me to serve a little? Tell her, bid her therefore to help me. Tell her to help me. Amen? What did Jesus say? Martha, Martha. You see, why would he have to call Martha's name twice? She was so busy, he had to try to get her attention. I'd love to do a study one day on everybody that God used their name twice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Samuel, Samuel, Moses, Moses. Amen? Getting attention. Well, Martha was so busy serving the Lord that he actually had to call her twice in order to get her attention. If you're so busy serving the Lord that he doesn't have your attention, you're too busy. Can I get a witness on that one? Martha, Martha, thou art troubled and careful about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. Amen? Listen, good things can take people away from the Lord. And I believe nowadays, some people that push for mega ministries and mega this and mega that get so busy with the administrating of all of that, they stop even living for the Lord. They get themselves in a lot of trouble. Amen? Very, very important. How about this one? Acts, don't turn there. Acts chapter number 6, 1 to 7. The church started growing. People started complaining. That comes with growth, right? People started complaining, and they said, we're not being ministered to. And the apostle said, hey, listen, it's not reasonable that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. And the Lord had given them some wisdom to raise up some individuals to take care of that business. And they said, we're going to give ourselves to prayer and to the word of God. You see, there was a time when the church grew and they were tempted to say, hold on a minute, there's things need to be done. And the wisdom is, don't you get away from what's important to go and serve tables. Give somebody else to do that. You got to stay with what's important. And by the way, because of that, verse 7 says, and the word of God increased. Amen. And people got saved. And so the devil tries to sidetrack good people with good things. Amen? We got to be very, very careful, don't we? I want you to turn with me. Do I want you to turn with me? Yes. Proverbs chapter number 4. Bear with me. I'm going fast. I probably won't be able to finish all this. I might touch on it. I might touch on it. And I might have to preach it out the next time I come back. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to just touch on a few things. And Lord willing, if I come back, I'll be able to fill it in for you. Amen. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter number 4, please. Proverbs chapter number 4. I want to say this. Listen, I've said it this morning. We got to secure the word. We got to secure the word. We got to secure the word in our hearts and in our lives. But I want to ask and answer the question. And that is this. Why should I be concerned about securing the word? Why should I be concerned about securing the word? And here's the answer. Your life depends on it. My life depends on it. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. We looked at this earlier. Look at verse number 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Get the next statement. Keep my commandments. And what's the next two words? Live. Your life depends on, my life depends on me retaining,
holding in my heart God's word. Let me show you another one. Look at chapter 4. We're in the same chapter. Look at verse number 22. For they, and we looked at earlier from 20 on where he says, my son, attend unto my words, my sayings. And here's why, verse number 22, for they, referring to the word of God, are what? Life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Look at verse number, verse number 23. Look at verse number 20. Keep thy heart with all diligence. In the context of this, it's keep God's word in your heart with all diligence. Give it everything you got to get the word in there and to keep the word in there. Why? Because out of it are the what? Issues of life. What does that mean? I'm going to make decisions from my heart. I'm going to make life decisions from, I'm going to make life changing decisions from my heart. I can't make them from a foolish, sinful heart. I need to make them from a heart that's got God's word in it. Amen. There was a man, a friend of mine, who had gotten saved and he had gotten away from the Lord. And when he got away from the Lord, he wound up marrying an unsaved woman. They had about 4 or 5 kids. And if you're saved, you're always saved. And if you're saved and you're away from the Lord's going to deal with you. Well, when the Lord dealt with this man, he came back to the Lord. He came back to the light. And then all of a sudden he realized, hold on a minute. This woman didn't want nothing to do with him no more. And this man went through all kinds of heartache and trouble with this woman and these children, all because he got away from the Lord, got into the dark, made wrong decisions, and then came back to the Lord and woke up and realized how bad it was. Amen. We all have to be very, very careful. Now, I want you to note this. Look, listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Our life depends upon the word of God. Amen. In fact, let me just give you this illustration. I have it written down, but we won't go there for time. Numbers chapter 15, verse 32 to 41. In that story, in that situation, there was a man out there and he was collecting sticks on the Sabbath day. They were already told not to work on the Sabbath day. This man was collecting sticks on the Sabbath day. They found him. They brought him to Moses and Aaron. Moses didn't know exactly what to do, so they put him in ward. They put him in jail and they sought the Lord on what they should do about this situation. You know what the Lord said? He's got to die. He's got to die. And so they brought him out and the whole congregation stoned him till he died. Right after that situation, you know what God said to Moses? He said, Moses, I want to give you some instructions. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to have the children of Israel to make them fringes around the borders of their garments. And I want you to make them put a ribbon of blue around the border of their garments, that when they see the fringes and they see the ribbon of blue, they'll remember my word to do it and not do what they want to do from their own heart. Do you understand the picture there? This man was out there doing what he shouldn't have been doing, and it cost him what? His life. God said, I care about people's lives. In fact, I want them to remember my word when their life's on the line so that they say, oh, I better not do this. If they go to bend down and get sticks like that man did, what are they going to see? They're going to see the fringes. They're going to see the blue. It's going to remind them of God's word and to live right and that they can have life and life what? More abundantly. Amen. I mentioned that before. I think I mentioned it here. That's called fringe benefits. The benefit of the fringes. When you see the fringes, you remember God, you remember his word, and you say, I'm not going to do wrong. I want to have life, number one, but I also want to have it more abundantly. Amen. There is a sin unto death. There is a sin unto death. Last 2 weeks ago, Saturday morning, I woke up. I looked on my phone app on Channel 6. It's our news down there. It's our liberal news down there. But nonetheless, I turned it on for the local news. And I'm looking at a story, man, on the boulevard, just, you know, maybe 15 minutes from where I live. Somebody drove their car on the boulevard, smashed into a telephone pole, and the telephone pole came down, ignited the car. The car was in flames. Firemen couldn't do nothing because of the electricity. They had to wait for the electricity company to come out. They said the man that was dead in there was basically a skeleton. All of a sudden, from my back room, comes my son Micah. And he says, Mom, Michael Gordon got killed last night. He ran into a telephone. What? It's a 21-year-old man, graduated from Bethel Baptist Academy. Family was in the church all their life. I taught this young man, preached to this young man. This young man got away from the Lord. He was on heroin, drink. In fact, the last picture they have him on Snapchat, he's in a bar. He just turned 21 5 months ago. He's in a bar taking a Snapchat of him and his beer and everything else. He's done. In fact, he was cremated on the spot because he got away from the Lord. Amen? You see, one of the things that hit me immediately, when I was 17 years old, I got saved as a kid. I got saved at about 10 years old. When I became a teenager, I got away from the Lord. And I got into some things I'm ashamed of today. Alcohol was one of them. Alcohol runs in my family. Grandpa, alcoholic, father, an alcoholic. It ran in our family. I became an alcoholic, 17-year-old alcoholic. I was stone drunk one night about 8 o'clock in the evening. It was a weekend, but 8 o'clock in the evening, stone drunk. Somebody had stolen a motorcycle in our neighborhood, and they came around on it. And being drunk, you think you can do anything. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I could drive that. I never drove a motorcycle in my life. And this idiot let me drive it. Puts me on it, tells me, yeah, hold the clutch. When I tell you, let it go, let it go. I have no idea what I'm doing. In the city, I'm flying down. I'm flying through stop signs. I don't know how to stop. I remember turning at a corner. And listen, I don't know what I'm doing, 50 miles an hour. And you can't turn a corner doing 50 miles an hour. I remember looking up and seeing a brick wall in front of me. That's what I remember saying. And I thought to myself, I'm done. But what happened was the curb, thank God for curbs in the city, they're high, so the bike hit a curb, threw me up in the air, I landed on my back, knocked the wind out, I was so drunk, I could feel some pain, I walked home, I was about 2 blocks away from home, I remember holding on to a fence, a playground fence all the way home, it was 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the evening, I went upstairs to my room, I went to sleep. The next morning, I opened my eyes. And I said, oh, man, that was a nightmare. I go to take one step out of bed, and I can't. I fall on the ground. I'm screaming. My back is killing me. They send the ambulance. They come up. They put me on a stretcher. They take me over to the hospital. They said I was an inch away from breaking my spine. I would have been paralyzed either waist down or the neck down. In fact, I'm laying in the hospital bed. And by the way, I had broken 3 discs in my back, cracked them all. And the nerves were exposed. Every time I moved in any which way, the pain was excruciating. And what happened was when I went to the hospital, the only place I could look, by the way, was up. And it was then and there I said, Lord, I know I'm saved. I know I'm not living right. Lord, forgive me. Please have mercy on me. Let me walk, and I promise I'll walk right this time. And thank God that it has happened like that. But when I heard about that young man, because it's pretty much the same situation. Each young man got saved as a little kid, but he got away from the Lord. I thought to myself, that definitely could have been me. I could have been there. Amen. And I say that to say this. If God's word could have been in his heart and gotten a hold of him, he might not have been bound to the drugs and alcohol and to the drinking and drunk driving. Amen. If God's word, it would have saved his life. Amen. I can't continue. I have more to say, and Lord willing, I'll come back and say it some other time. But listen, it is vitally important for you and I to get that word and to get it in our heart. Listen, we have to stop the sin where it starts. Out of the heart, Jesus said, proceed evil thoughts, murders. Can I get a witness on that one? We have to deal with the heart is the issue. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Amen. God help us to get it in our heart that God might be able to save our lives, that we might enjoy life and life more abundantly. Amen. Let's secure it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you once again for this gathering. Thank you for the spirit of the day. What a wonderful, wonderful day. Great singing, great music, Lord. Great scripture, great spirit. And thank you for those that gathered. Oh, Father, I pray that your word by your spirit would settle in our hearts in a mighty way. It's our only hope of life and life more abundant. I pray if it be thy will, Lord, futuristically to be able to come and share the other thoughts that I have concerning this. I thank you for the preacher being able to be here all day, to be able to sing and then have the energy he has today, Lord. I pray you continue to touch him and hedge him, bless the medicines to his body, raise him up, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, amen.
number 164 in your hymn book, it doesn't quite go what we intend. It's a song that it'll apply, has to apply one way or another, has to apply to 64, nothing but the blood. You know, the Bible is so precious to us. And you're going to get into that book as a result of the practical teaching here today. And nothing but the blood of Jesus is what people are going to need. That book is going to tell you that. And so, let's just end with this song. It was a song I wanted to sing. not me sing, but I wanted all of us to sing together. Because this is the crux of the whole matter. Nothing but the blood of that. And that's what your Bible, that you need to hold on to and secure and hide in your heart and everything it takes from us. So let's stand and sing number 164. We'll sing all the verses. Let's sing it slow.
No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood.
of Jesus. Keep us safe as we draw our way here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.